tasya
pritena
manasa
tam
datva aidavida tata pasyata antardadhi sa api svapuram pratyapadyata tasya pritena manasa tam datvai davidastata pasyatam tar dadhesopi svapuram pratyapadyata tasya pritena manasa tam datvai davidastata pasyantam tardade sopi svapuram pratyapadyata tasya pritena manasa tam datva davidastata pasyatam dartate sopi svapuram pratyapadyata tasya pritena manasa tam datva Айдавида,
Ковера, Син и Давиди.
Тата,
затем.
Пасията,
на глазах от грубой.
Антардаде,
исчез.
Са,
он грубо.
Api
также.
Svapuram.
Svapuram.
Свой город.
Свой город.
Pratyapadyata.
Pratyapadyata.
Вернулся.
Translation. The son of Idavida, Lord Kuvera, was very pleased, and happily he gave Dhruva Maharaj the benediction he wanted. Thereafter he disappeared from Dhruva's presence, and Dhruva Maharaj returned to his capital city.
Господь Кувера, сын Идавиды, очень довольный Дхрувой, с радостью дал ему благословение, о котором тот просил, и удалился в свою обитель, после чего Дхрува Махарадж вернулся в свою столицу.
Purport. Kuvera, who is known as the son of Idavida, was very pleased with Dhruva Maharaj because he did not ask him for anything materially enjoyable.
Kuvera, сын Идавида, остался очень доволен Дхрува Махараджа, поскольку тот не стал просить у него никаких материальных благословений, связанных с чувственными наслаждениями.
Kuvera is one of the demigods, so one may put forward the argument, why did Dhruva Maharaj take a benediction from a demigod?
Kuvera принадлежит к числу полубогов, поэтому может возникнуть вопрос, почему Дхрува Махарадж принял благословение полубога.
The answer is that for a Vaishnava, there's no objection to taking a benediction from a demigod if it is favorable for advancing Krishna consciousness.
Ответ состоит в том, что Вайшнава может принять благословение любого полубога, если оно способствует развитию сознания Кришны. В этом нет ничего зазорного.
The gopis, for example, worshipped Katyayani, a demigoddess, but the only benediction they wanted from the goddess was to have Krishna as their husband.
К примеру, гопи поклонялись богине Катьяяне, но единственное, чего они просили у нее, это помочь им стать женами Кришны.
A Vaishnava is not interested in asking any benediction from the demigods, nor is he interested in asking benedictions from the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Обычно Вайшнава не просит благословения ни у полубогов, ни даже у Верховной Личности Бога.
It is said in the Bhagavatam that liberation can be offered by the Supreme Person, but even if a pure devotee is offered liberation by the Supreme Lord, he refuses to accept it.
В Бхагаватам сказано, что Верховный Господь может даровать человеку освобождение, но если Господь предложит его чистому преданному, то преданный откажется принять его.
Dhruva Maharaj did not ask Kuvera for transference to the spiritual world, which is called liberation. He simply asked that wherever he would remain, whether in the spiritual or material world, he would always remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Дхрува Махараджа не просил Кувера перенести его в духовный мир, что обычно понимается под освобождением. Он попросил помочь ему всегда помнить о Верховной Личности Бога, где бы он ни находился, в духовном мире или в материальном.
Vaishnava is always respectful to everyone.
Vaishnava всегда со всем, ко всем относится с почтением.
So when Kuvera offered him a benediction, he did not refuse it.
Поэтому, когда Кувера предложил Друге исполнить любое его желание, Друга не стал отказываться.
But he wanted something which would be favorable to his advancement in Krishna consciousness.
Однако он попросил Кувера то, что должно было помочь ему прогрессировать в сознании Кришны.
Read the translation one more time. Just read the translation. Yeah.
Перевод текста еще раз. Господь Кувера, сын Идавиды, очень доволен Друвой, с радостью дал ему благословение, которое тот просил, и удалился в свою обитель, после чего Друва Махараджа вернулся в свою столицу.
Омагьяна тимирандасья гананджана салакая чакшуам нилитам нина тазмай ши гурадей намаха хокам кароти вачалам пангам лангайате гарим якрипатам ахам ванде ши гурам нитарна Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharane Nirvasesha Sanyavadi Pasticha Desatane Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Dvaita Gadadhara Srivasati Gaurava Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we've been talking about the benediction Kuvera gave to Dhruva Maharaj. Yesterday's verse, described exactly what Dhruva Maharaj wanted. He begged that he might have unflinching faith in and remembrance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Он просил, молил о том, чтобы иметь непоколебимую веру и твердую память, чтобы ни на мгновение не забывать о его личности.
And here, in today's verse, Prabhupada is asking the question, why did Dhruva Maharaj take a benediction from a demigod?
И в сегодняшнем стихе Шрила Прабхупада комментарии обсуждают, почему Дхрува Махарадж принял благословение полубога.
Because ordinarily Vaishnavas should not be interested in approaching the demigods for anything.
Потому что обычно Вайшнава не заинтересован в том, чтобы обращаться к полубогу, зачем это не было.
Because a Vaishnava has firm and complete faith that the Supreme Lord can fulfill all of his necessities and all of his desires.
Поскольку Вайшнава обладает непоколебимой верой Верховного Господа, Господь всегда удовлетворяет все потребности этого Вайшнава.
And therefore, for a Vaishnava, it's not necessary to approach the demigods for anything.
Поэтому Вайшнава нет необходимости обращаться, зачем это ни было к Богу.
And actually, this is a fact.
На самом деле, это так и есть.
And we understand there are so many references that are given in scripture which give testimony to this fact.
И в Писаниях есть множество подтверждений этому.
That the Lord can fulfill all of one's necessities, all of one's desires, what need is there to go to the demigods or anyone else for anything.
Господь удовлетворяет все запросы, все потребности преданного, поэтому нет необходимости обращаться ни к полубогу, ни к кому бы то еще.
Just like the verse in the Bhagavatam, which Srila Prabhupada would oftentimes quote, what is the necessity of going to the branches and to the leaves and to the twigs of a tree when you can go to the roots and satisfy them all?
So this is a stichom Bhagavatam, потом говорится, что какая необходимость пытаться поливать листья, веточки, ветви дерева, если можно, обратившись к корню, полить корень, таким образом достичь всего необходимого.
Nonetheless, as Vaishnavas, we should certainly offer suitable respect to the demigods.
Тем не менее, будучи Вайшнавами, мы должны всегда предлагать надлежащее почтение полубогам.
Because they are also devotees.
Потому что они также преданные.
In fact, Vaishnavas should be offering respects to all living beings, what to speak of the demigods.
На самом деле, Вайшнава всегда должен оказывать почтение всем живым существам, что уж говорить о полубогах.
So, Prabhupada makes the point here that it's okay, nothing wrong if one approaches the demigods, as long as the request that's made further advances that person's Krishna consciousness.
Srila Prabhupada об этом говорит здесь. Хорошо, нет проблемы, ничего неправильно обращаться к полубогам в том случае, если это помогает продвигаться в сознании Кришны.
Because the sole and exclusive objective of the worshipper is pleasing the Lord.
Потому что единственная цель того, кто поклоняется, заключается в том, чтобы служить Господу.
When I was doing a little research, I found something very interesting this morning.
Сегодня утром, когда исследовал эту тему, я нашел нечто интересное.
And it was an explanation that Śrīla Jīva Gosvāmī gives about this particular benediction that Kuvera gave to Dhruva Maharaj. It was in some apparently obscure place in the Krama Sandarbha. Obscure meaning. And he points out that previously Swayambhuva Manu said to Dhruva Maharaj, he said that you should immediately pacify Kuvera with gentle words and prayers. And thus his wrath may not affect our family. So Swayambhuva Manu was saying that there may be an obstacle in your ability to be fixed in your remembrance of Krishna if you evoke the wrath of Kuvera. Kuvera is a devotee. And sometimes, even though they're devotees, the demigods, they may become angry if they're slighted. Slighted? Ignored. And in fact, I found another interesting reference in Krishna book, which was in a story about Rukmini. When Krishna didn't come to immediately rescue her, she immediately started thinking about different demigods. I'll read. Rukmini thought that the demigods such as Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva and the goddess Durga might have been displeased. It is generally said that the demigods become angry when not properly worshipped. For instance, when Indra found that the inhabitants of Vrindavan were not worshipping him, Krishna, having stopped the Indra Yajna, he became angry and wanted to chastise them. Thus Rukmini thought, since she did not worship Lord Shiva or Lord Brahma very much, they might have become angry and tried to frustrate her plan. Similarly, the thought that goddess Durga, the wife of Lord Shiva, might have taken the side of her husband. Lord Shiva is known as Rudra. And his wife is known as Rudrani. Rudrani and Rudra refer to those who are accustomed to putting others in distress to cry forever.
Rudra and Rudrani, these imena подразумевают, что они могут погрузить человека в страдания.
Rukmini was thinking of goddess Durga as Girija.
Rukmini думала о богине Дурге как Гириджа.
The daughter of the Himalayan mountains.
Дочери гор Гималая.
The Himalayan mountains are very cold and hard.
Горы Гималая очень холодные и очень твердые.
And she thought of Goddess Durga as hard-hearted and cold.
Она думала об Индуре как о той, которая обладает очень жестким и холодным сердцем.
In her anxiety to see Krishna, Rukmini, who was after all still a child, thought this way about different demigods. The gopis worshipped Goddess Katyayani to get Krishna as their husband. Similarly, Rukmini was thinking of the various types of demigods. Not for material benefit, but in respect to Krishna. Praying to the demigods to achieve the favor of Krishna is not irregular. Rukmini was fully absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. Here, we see even Rukmini was thinking that maybe I might have slighted some of the, or angered some of the demigods, and that's why Krishna is not coming to me, to my rescue. Because as Prabhupada said, sometimes it is seen that even the demigods, they become angry because they haven't been given suitable respect or attention. Because not all the demigods are pure devotees. Of course, we know Lord Shiva, he is the greatest Vaishnava, he's pure devotee. But Kuvera is just a demigod who's in charge of, you know, the opulences, the treasury of the demigods. He's certainly a devotee and a very powerful devotee. And Svayabhuva Manu had already warned Dhruva Maharaj. He said to him, he said that it could create problems for our family if you anger him. And you don't pacify that anger. And Jiva Goswami therefore explains that Dhruva Maharaj didn't want any obstruction to his remembrance of Krishna by creating problems to the demigods. Therefore, Jiva Goswami explains that he went to Kuvera with this understanding, please give me unobstructed faith and remembrance of the Lord, so he would pacify Kuvera so he wouldn't be angry with him. Because he considered Kuvera to be a possible obstruction to his constant remembrance of the Lord. Now, of course, for a devotee who's always fixed in remembrance of the Lord, there are no obstructions. The residents in Vrindavan, they were also met with apparent obstacles when Indra became displeased.
даже встретились с кажущимся препятствием, когда Индра был недовольным.
And the residents in Vrindavan, nonetheless, were always fixed that Krishna is their shelter, and even though Indra created a major disturbance. Their unswerving remembrance of Krishna remained unchecked.
Их, тем не менее, их непоколебимое памятование о Кришне не было нарушено.
So, nonetheless, the benediction that Dhruva Maharaj was asking from Kuvera was indirectly saying, please accept. He was indirectly saying, please forgive me.
В своей просьбе благословения Дхрува Махараджа косвенно просит Куверу, пожалуйста, прости меня.
And therefore, Kuvera told Dhruva, what's to forgive?
И поэтому Кувера говорит Дхруве, в чем, собственно говоря, тебя прощает?
You are simply acting as an instrument for the will of the Lord. And Kuvera was also very pleased that Dhruva Maharaj stopped fighting and killing the Yakshas when Swayambhuva Manu told him to do that. So he was already pleased and he was already satisfied. So then Kuvera said, let me give you a benediction. I'm already pleased and satisfied. Let me give you some benediction. Therefore, Dhruva Maharaj said, please give me the benediction that my unswerving remembrance of Krishna will not be checked by anything. And therefore Kuvera gave that benediction. What was the benediction? I'm not angry anymore. I won't do anything to obstruct your Krishna consciousness. Your Krishna consciousness will remain completely unchecked. And Kuvera was very, very pleased also, because he's a devotee. Because although he could have given something material to Dhruva, Dhruva wasn't interested in it. He didn't ask for that. So he was also very pleased to give a benediction for that reason. Prabhupada makes that point here. He said he was very pleased because Dhruva did not ask him for anything materially enjoyable. So in this way, Kuvera had the ability to give a benediction to Dhruva Maharaj that his remembrance of Krishna would not ever be disturbed.
В этом смысле Кувера был способен предложить Дхруве благословение том, что его сознание Кришны никогда не было нарушено.
So the point is that when a devotee approaches the demigods, he is always very respectful towards them. He sees them as the limbs of the Lord. And in fact, In the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, there are a few verses describing how Bharat Maharaj performed a great sacrifice. Then he included all the demigods to be worshipped because he saw the demigods as limbs of the Lord. And therefore he gave them suitable respect as devotees. But his exclusive objective was, they're your limbs, therefore, but I want to please you. So the point is that a devotee, a Vaishnava, is never disrespectful to the demigods. Of course, worshipping the Lord exclusively is not being disrespectful to the demigods. But as we said, sometimes the demigods may feel slighted if they're not properly respected. So, in fact, Jiva Goswami, I can't remember which, I think it's in Bhakti Sandhava, or Krishna Sandhava. He tells a story about Maharaj Ambarish. He said that Maharaj Ambarish, one time he performed austerity, fast, another time performed a fast. And the Lord assumed the form of Indra. And the Lord usually rides on the back of Garuda. And Garuda assumed the form of Airavata, Indra's elephant. And they came before Maharaj Ambarish, saying, we're very pleased by the austerities you performed. We want to give you a benediction. So, Maharaj Ambarish, assuming it was Indra, said to Indra, he offered full respects to him and prayers to him. Very respectful. But he also respectfully submitted to Indra. I don't need any benedictions from you. If I need anything, I'll fully depend upon the Lord for whatever He desires to give me. And then Indra said to Maharaj Ambarish, he said, but actually, the demigods can also, we can also give you a benediction. Please give us the opportunity to give you something. And then Maharaj Ambarish again respectfully submitted that, I don't want anything from you. And then Indra became very angry. And he picked up a thunderbolt. And he was going to strike Maharaj Ambarish. And said, you must accept a benediction from me. And Maharaj Ambarish respectfully submitted his hands and said, no, I won't. I'm not I'll whatever Krishna gives me. So of course it was the Lord. And at that moment he became very pleased with Maharaj
Ambarish.
And he immediately manifested his form as the Lord. And bestowed his mercy upon Maharaj Ambarish. So in this way, this story is given as an example that how sometimes we may not necessarily have to ask the demigods for anything. That the Lord is always pleased by the devotee's unflinching faith in Him. Even if the demigods may sometimes become disturbed. Therefore, the devotees always worship the Lord unflinchingly with their faith that the Lord knows what they need and knows and what kind of benediction they to give him, his devotee. Although the devotee only wants, never asked the Lord to give him a benediction. The devotee only wants the opportunity to serve the Lord and to constantly remember the Lord. For a devotee, he considers that to be the highest benediction. And any other benedictions that the Lord may give to his devotee should only enhance that ultimate benediction the devotee wants, which is the opportunity to serve and to remember. And therefore, we gave the example the other day of how the Lord will never give a benediction to his devotee that will be an obstacle to his devotional service. Because the Lord always considers the ultimate interest of his devotee. That is the difference between worshipping the Lord and worshipping the demigods. As the Lord always takes into consideration what is ultimately in the best interest of his devotee. And he will not bestow a benediction upon his devotee that will be an obstacle to his devotional service. Whereas the demigods, they may bestow a benediction which will be an obstacle for devotional service. Therefore, when respecting the demigods or worshipping the demigods, a Vaishnava never asks them for anything that will be an obstacle for his devotional service. Of course, sometimes we may foolishly think that if the demigods give you this to me, then I'll be able to remember Krishna because I'm always thinking about this thing that the demigods haven't given to me yet. I won't ask Krishna for it. Because I've already heard that Krishna will fulfill that desire in such a way that I won't ask for it again.
Таким образом, что я уже больше не попрошу у него.
So I don't want to bother Krishna. Okay, Krishna, you just... I won't bother you with this. So I'll go to your devotee. I'll go to your devotee. And I'll ask the devotee for it. But I won't bother you. And if the devotee's merciful to me, maybe they'll give me the fulfillment of my desire so I can think of you. But the demigods don't always necessarily deliver the fulfillment of that desire which is in the best interest of their worshipper. And therefore, more problems could arise even if one gets the fulfillment of his desires by worshipping the demigods. And then the biggest problem happens is that when all those problems come, is that because we didn't approach the Lord for constant remembrance of Him, we'll forget Krishna. Yes, when the desire is fulfilled. And there are disturbances created by the fulfillment of these desires. We'll forget Krishna. And then more problems come. Because ultimately, the source of all of our problems is forgetfulness of Krishna. But Krishna knows how to bring his devotee to him. So Krishna knows how to fulfill the desires of his devotee so that this devotee will be able to remember him. Therefore, a devotee always approaches Krishna for everything. Because a devotee, his main objective is, I want to be able to serve you, and I want to remember you, and please, remove. You know best what I need to accomplish. So, when a devotee has firm, resolute faith in the Lord and the Lord's ability to satisfy all his needs, the Lord becomes very pleased. And he's very inclined to protect his devotee. Jiva Goswami gives another story about one devotee named Vishvaksena. He was a very elevated devotee. He was always fixed in worship of the Supreme Lord. And he was living in one village where there was the son of, I think it was the son of the king. And the son of the king happened to be a worshipper of Lord Shiva. So one day, son of the king, he had a terrible headache and he couldn't do his worship to Lord Shiva. And He was looking for somebody to do his worship. So he saw this Brahmin, Vishvaksena, and approached him. He said, "You should worship Lord Shiva for me." And Vishvaksena said to him, "No, I only worship Lord Vishnu. Although I am respectful of all the demigods, but I'm fully satisfied simply to worship Lord Vishnu for all of my needs." So the worshipper of Lord Shiva became very angry. And he pulled out his sword. He said, "If you don't do worship for Lord Shiva today, I will cut off your head." So Vishvaksena was thinking that, "I'm not sure if this is the best way for me to leave." So he agreed to do the worship of Lord Shiva. So he started, sat before Lord Shiva, and he was praying within his heart. He said that, Lord Vishnu is the source of all the demigods." And he said that, "Lord Shiva, he is a manifestation of the mode of ignorance and darkness." And he serves the Lord in this way. He said, "But I will pray to my Lord Nrisingadev because he destroys the darkness." So in his mind, he wasn't worshipping Lord Shiva, he was actually worshipping Lord Nrisingadev. And he began chanting mantras to worship Lord Nrisingadev. As soon as the son of the king heard these mantras coming from his mouth, he immediately took his sword and was about to cut off his head. And right at that moment, Lord Nrisingadev appeared from the deity of Lord Shiva. And he immediately killed the son of the king and killed everyone in the village who was responsible behind it, who was responsible for it. And Jiva Goswami tells this story as an example that one should not think that by worshipping the Supreme Lord, he is slighting the demigods. But even though Lord Shiva is a great Vaishnava, worthy of all respect, the devotee is never interested in worshipping for some material gain. And therefore he always exclusively places his faith in his worship in the Supreme Lord. And never worships the demigods for some material gain. So, these are a few different examples that help us to understand essentially what Srila Prabhupada is talking about here in this verse.
Некоторые примеры, иллюстрирующие то, о чем говорит в сущности.
that the devotee's primary interest is his advancement in Krishna consciousness. And he has firm faith that Krishna knows best how to bring me to him. Therefore, he offers respects to all Vaishnavas, all devotees of the Lord. But his only interest is to accept only that which was given to him by the Lord. It makes me think that many years ago I used to preach in the West Indies. West Indies? Yeah, West Indies is like Trinidad, Tobago, Guyana. It's a southern part of North America. They're called West Indies. I don't know what else to call it. Caribbean. And there, demigod worship is very prevalent. You go, any temple we would go into was always, demigods were the prominent, predominating deities in the temple.
Hindu temple?
Yeah.
Hindu temples.
Because at that time, this is quite some time, we didn't have that many temples there. And we used to preach in the Hindu temples. And many of the people who were actually coming to Krishna consciousness had this type of background of worshipping the deities, but worshipping the demigods, the devatas. And quite often we would go to the homes of the different devotees and we would see that their altars were always filled with all the demigods. They would have Gornitai, or maybe sometimes Radha Krishna. But always in the back, there was everyone was there. Because they were always afraid that, you know, they don't want to displease the demigods. They were afraid that maybe if we don't give them proper respect and give them, show them some recognition, that they might think that we're slighting them and they might make some obstacles in our devotional service. Now, of course, if they're thinking that way, then Prabhupada says, that's okay. You're offering them suitable respect. But the goal is they simply want no obstacles in their devotional service. However, if they're thinking that I might lose my comforts if I don't worship this demigod, lose my wealth, lose my family, lose all the things that previously they gave me, and now they may take it away if I don't give them sufficient worship. So they worship them to keep their material gains. And they worship the Lord. And they think, I'm safe. So That's motivated devotional service and is contrary to the principles of bhakti.
Но это уже мотивированное преданное служение, оно противоречит принципам бхакти.
And therefore such worship will simply create obstacles in the path of devotional service.
И такого рода поклонение создаст препятствие на пути чистого преданного служения.
Prabhupada used to many times quote the verse Devarshi Puttapta Ninam Pratinam Nam Kinkanon Nayamanichara Jan Savatmari Yatshara Nasharam Yam Kato Mukundam Paradichikartum. That anyone who completely surrenders to Krishna is no longer a debtor to anyone. Not, nor the sages, the forefathers, nor demigods, nor people in general.
Ни мудрецам, ни предкам, ни полубогам, ни людям в целом.
Anyone who fully surrenders to Krishna is no longer obliged to anyone, including the demigods.
Кто полностью предается Кришне, уже более не должен никому, включая полубогов.
So, therefore, a devotee maintains the proper motivation in his worship.
Итак, преданный должен в своем поклонении утвердить правильные мотивы.
And if he approaches the demigods, just as Dhruva Maharaj approached the demigods, Kuvera. Actually, Kuvera approached Dhruva. He didn't go to Kuvera separately. So Dhruva Maharaj displayed the ideal behavior of a devotee. And therefore he prayed to Kuvera, to please that let there be no obstacles to my constant remembrance of the Supreme Lord.
Он молит Кувера, пожалуйста, благослови меня, чтобы не было никаких препятствий в моем постоянном памятовании о Господе.
Prabhupada one time, I think it was in 1976 in Vrindavan.
Однажды сел Прабхупада, я думаю, что это был 76 год в Вриндаване.
I'm not sure how it is now. But in 1976, our Vrindavan temple was opened in 1975. But the grand opening was in
1975.
And in 1976, there was a Punjab bank that was in the temple compound. That was they had a sort of like an opening of the Punjab Bank in the temple complex. It's still there? It's still there? Yeah. Prabhupada was present.
In 1966 году на территории храма был открыт офис Пунджабского банка.
And I remember it was, of course it was a lot more prominent back then in 76. Because 76, all that was there was the temple and the guest house. And the Punjab Bank was a part of the guest house. So after the opening, Prabhupada sat down and he was meeting with the bankers. And Prabhupada began preaching to them. And he told them the whole story of Dhruva Maharaj. Not the whole story, but it was quite, he gave quite a bit of the details how Dhruva went to sit on his father's lap.
Ну, может быть, не всю историю, но он с достаточными деталями рассказывал о том, как Гуру Махарадж попытался сесть на колени своему отцу.
How he was treated by Саручи.
Как Саручи обошлась с ним.
Went into the forest, got a benediction from the Lord.
Как Гуру отправился в лес, получил благословение Господа.
Then became the king.
Стал царем.
And then he told him the story about how Dhruva began killing the yakshas. And then he told him the story of how Kuvera came and asked Dhruva Maharaj for benediction.
закончила тем, что объяснил, как Кувера пришел и предлагал благословение Андрогине.
He said, so Кувера, he was the treasure of the demigods.
Он сказал, Кувера, казначей Богу.
And he could have given so much wealth to Dhruva.
Он мог бы дать бесконечное богатство Дхрува.
He said, similarly, now we have the Punjab National Bank in our compound.
Сейчас, поэтому также у нас есть Пенджабский банк на нашей территории.
He said, and you have all facility to give so much to us.
И вы имеете все возможности давать нам столь много.
But Prabhupada said to him, he said, but Dhruva Maharaj, instead, when Kuvera asked for a benediction, Dhruva Maharaj simply asked, please let me always be engaged in your service.
Но, говорит Прабхупада, но когда Кувера предложил благословение, Дхрува попросил у него только быть способным себя помнить, представить на преданность.
So Prabhupada said, similarly, I say to you, please, now that you have your bank in our compound, please bless me that I'll always be engaged in Krishna's service.
И Шрила Прабхупада говорит, и точно так же теперь офис вашего банка на нашей территории, пожалуйста, благословите меня, чтобы я всегда был занят в служении Кришне.
All the devotees went, Jai, Hari Bol. They were so happy that Prabhupada presented it that way.
Of course,
Prabhupada could have presented it anyway and it would have been an ecstasy. Prabhupada could have said, simply you should give that, give now you should give the bank to us. But Prabhupada didn't say that. He said, I said, just like Dhruva Maharaj, I pray for your blessings that you... please bless me that I'll always be engaged in Krishna
service.
And then, of course, the bankers told a little story to Prabhupada. It was a joke. The bankers told the story about a man who one time required an open heart surgery and needed a heart transplant.
Они сказали, что однажды один человек должен был сделать операцию пересадки сердца.
And they, when they went to the physicians, the physician said, we can give you one of three hearts.
И когда он пришел к доктору сказал, мы можем пересадить тебе одно из трех сердец.
He said, we can give you the heart of a businessman.
Сердце бизнесмена.
We can give you the heart of what was the other one? I think a general.
Yeah.
We can give you the heart of a banker. So the man said, oh, I want the heart of the banker. So they said, why do you want the heart of the banker? He says, because I know it's never been used before.
Это сердце, этим сердцем никогда ранее не пользовалось. Не выработанное. Хорошо сохранилось.
Prabhupada laughed and laughed and laughed. He liked
the joke.
He liked the joke. And then Prabhupada decided to tell a joke himself. Prabhupada said to the bankers, he said, there was a man, he heard that money attracts money. So he went to the bank. And the bankers were sitting there counting a huge stack of money. So the man took a coin and he threw it on the stack of money. And the banker looked at the man and said, my dear sir, why are you standing there? What are you waiting for?
Банкир посмотрел на человека и спросил, дорогой господин, чего Вы стоите здесь. Чего ожидаете?
And the man said to the banker, he said, well, I've heard that money attracts money, so I'm waiting for the money, for all this money to come to me.
И этот человек сказал, ну, я слышал, что деньги привлекают деньги, и поэтому я ожидаю, что до всех учителей сейчас придет ко мне.
And the banker said to the man, he said, yes, it's true, money attracts money.
И банкир ответил, ну да, это правда, деньги привлекают деньги.
Now I have your coin.
Теперь у меня ваша монета.
And Prabhupada told this joke to the bankers. Of course, everyone was laughing. Prabhupada, sometimes he would display this humor. And therefore, he was responding to the humor of the bankers with his own type of humor. But the story actually was how Prabhupada took the position of Dhruva Maharaj.
No, суть истории в том, что Шрила Прабхупада занял положение Дхрува Махарадж.
And therefore, he presented the bankers to be like Kuvera, who could offer so much wealth, but Prabhupada said, no, please, I only pray that you bless me, that I'll always be engaged in Krishna's service.
Он подразумевал банкиров, представители Куверы, которые могли бы выложить очень много, но Шрила Прабхупада попросил их, пожалуйста, благословите меня тоже, то есть я готов занять служение.
So this is the understanding that we have of how a devotee is not interested in approaching the demigods for anything material.
Итак, мы не заинтересованы. Мы должны понять, что преданный Господа не заинтересован в обращении к богам ради чего-то материального.
But as Prabhupada says, for Vaishnava there is no objection to taking a benediction from a demigod. If it is favorable for advancing Krishna consciousness.
Prabhupada говорит, нет никакого запрета на то, что Vaishnava обращался к богам и получал от них благо, если это помогает к преданному служению.
Prabhupada very carefully worded it by saying there is no objection. Therefore, making it very clear that it is not mandatory. And it is simply all based upon the motivation of the worshipper. What does the worshipper want from his worship? Thus establishing very clearly that the Vaishnava is one who only wants service to the Lord and remembrance of the Lord. And when the Lord fulfills any other desire that may be there in the heart of the Vaishnava, then the devotee can feel comforted that that fulfilled desire was by the mercy of the Lord for my service to Him. The devotee can feel the comfort that the fulfilled desire, that the Lord fulfilled my desire for my service to Him. But the devotee is never inclined to ask the Lord for any kind of benediction. And that is the last point that is made here. He said that, Prabhupada said that a Vaishnava is not interested in asking any benediction from the demigods, nor is he interested in asking benedictions from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But when the Lord asks, let me give you a benediction, Then the devotee accepts only that benediction which is advantageous for his service to the Lord. We see so many examples in Chaitanya Bhagavata when the Lord was giving benedictions to his devotees. And every time the devotees never asked for anything for themselves. Even though the Lord wanted to give them something, the devotees would always refuse and saying, no, I don't need anything. Just let me serve you and remember you. Or just let me always stay in the association of your devotees who will always help me to remember you. Or as Haridas Thakur prayed, please let me always have, let me have the remnants of foodstuffs of your devotees. Because by taking the remnants of the foodstuffs of your devotees, I will be able to make progress in remembering you. And even Haridas Thakur apologized to the Lord. He begged for forgiveness. He says, you're asking me to ask for a benediction. And I apologize that I'm asking for something that is so high and I am unworthy to get. Please forgive me for being so brazen, so bold as to ask for such a high benediction. But nonetheless, I will do it. Because you've asked me. Therefore, please, let me have the association of your devotees, birth after birth, and have the remnants of their food. That is sufficient for me. These are the examples which are taught to us by our acharyas. And we should aspire to follow in their footsteps in the way that they have taught us. Okay. We're going to end here. I have no time. I have a commitment at 10 o'clock. No questions. Hare Krishna, thank you.